This week on Barbell Shrugged, we interview Steve Liberati of Steve's Club and Rob Miller, who once judged Rich Froning at the CrossFit Games.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Should I try a New Jersey accent here?
No.
Probably not.
Go for it.
You only stand to offend people.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bletzer here with Chris Moore and Doug Larson, CTP behind the camera here. And we're in New Jersey with Steve Liberati of Steve's Club and Rob Miller, longtime affiliate owner and level one staff dude. And he judges Rich Froning.
Not good enough, Rich. Again.
As a hobby.
Yes. Your hobby is to judge Rich Froning.
Very critical of Rich, Rob is.
Yes. Today we're going to attempt to talk about performance tracking and how you should probably do it and how it might benefit your training and all that kind of stuff. Before we get any further, go to barbellshrug.com, sign up for the newsletter. What are they going to get if they sign up for the newsletter, Chris?
All their wishes come true.
And a virtual hug.
And a virtual hug. I'll send it to you promptly.
You'll
tingle all over. You'll know you'll got it.
All right, Steve, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and Steve's Club and all that good stuff?
Sure.
Even though you hate it, man.
He said he hates talking about himself, but we're going to make him do it anyway.
You said humble. I have about an hour to talk about myself?
An hour. Yeah.
Okay.
Hour and 10.
3, 2, 1, go. So I started Steve's Club in Camden, New Jersey, get kids off the street. And from there, we started Steve's Paleo Goods. So we started a line of beef jerky, nuts, and berries. It's called the Paleo Kit. That helps support our nonprofit. We also have, from there, we started Steve's Club National Program. So we spread the concept to other cities. We now have 19 clubs in cities all over the country. So very, very excited to be part of that.
We used to eat those Paleo Kits by the bucket. We used to buy like huge buckets of them.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, well, thank you.
We tend to overdo things. Like, we ate nothing but Paleo Kits for a while, and then we're like, oh, we can't do this anymore.
Yeah, I haven't had one in a while.
Little note, don't just eat only Paleo Kits. You gotta work them into your normal diet.
Every once in a while, I got thrown a stalk of broccoli.
There you go.
Bounced.
Well, the best bit is that
when I went to Africa, I took 30 with me.
Oh, wow.
It lasted me for like two weeks.
The best part's the bottom, the jerky and the strawberry gel that forms. Like, it's a salty, sweet perfection thing.
So is this zone proportioned?
It is, yes.
Okay, so it's paleo zone.
I didn't know people use the term zone anymore.
Yeah, could you mix those two things?
We try not to.
Are you allowed legally to say paleo and zone? Aren't they too
legally
diametrically opposed? Well, it's two gangs.
I don't think they trademarked the word zone.
That's why Steve's not saying it. He's letting Mike say it.
Yeah, the two exactly. Likely don't get along.
I can say whatever I want. Rob, that's what I think anyway. Can you give us a little background on you and, CrossFit, what, 6 years now? CrossFit level one staff?
Yeah, coming about 6 years. Yeah, so I've been doing that for a while, traveling around. Most of the time it's local, but I've gone to some cool places with that. It's been a lot of fun. It's really cool to be part of that experience with new people when they're coming through, so I really enjoy that. I run CrossFit Delaware Valley. We've had that since the summer of 2007, and that was one of the typical kind of lo-fi CrossFit experiences. It started in a garage. And
early on, too, right?
Yeah, real early.
What would you say the number of your first... Yeah, what was it? Number?
It was. I think it was 186. I could be wrong.
And Mike, how many are there
now? What month was that?
It was. I came online. My site was listed July 4th, 2007.
July. We were November.
End of September, I think, is when we moved into our space in November.
Oh, okay.
I'm not exactly sure. Sometime between September and November, we came on the website. So we're real close. And you too, Steve.
200-ish.
You came online in 2007?
This is all new to me. I never heard anybody saying 186. I thought it's the top 10 and that's cool and it passed that. I think we're 101.
Now I think about it.
I'm just kidding. Now, yeah, we started it. I started Steve's Club in about 2006 and then about 2 years later, I started CrossFit Tribe in a park. So about the same time as you guys.
It was also a time when it was very, I won't say overly risky, but no one understood what this would become. That's the wilderness days.
The hard part, the wild west. Is explaining it to people when you run into them at the bar and you're trying to get, that's where we did most of our recruiting because we were in college. So I was in college and like, oh, I got this gym where we do, we do like weightlifting and like, some track type stuff and some rowing.
Yeah.
And people were like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's how it was back then, right? Totally. How'd you get people in the gym?
I usually say what we don't do. it's not bodybuilding. Okay, now.
Then what is it?
Yeah, then what is it?
Yeah. Yeah, all you new affiliates, you don't know how hard it was.
Exactly.
Everything's handed to you on a silver platter now.
Yeah, back then, if you told your friends and family, oh, I'm going to open up a gym, they go, why are you, you want to fail and be a financial ruin? You want to try to compete with a Gold's Gym on that model? That's the only option you had. Then it's changed everything.
Yeah. You're a rebel without a cause, right?
I love that title.
So Rob, at the beginning of the show, he said that you judge Rich Froning. You were actually a judge for Rich Froning in competition is why we said that.
Yeah.
You're not
yeah.
in your underwear well, at home
what's
judging
the story
him.
There?
At the games.
No,
at the games.
I got a couple of marquee athletes over the years. I've done the past four years at the games, and I've done some, you know, similar time at regionals. And I got Rich in one lane one time. It was, I can't remember the workout.
What's you can't that? Remember the workout?
No, I know the workout. I know what it was called because they all have names now. You know, like right. Dosinkos and. But it was
too many fucking names, by the way. Too many names.
It was the one where at the end of the tennis court they had to do the burpees into the muscle ups. I just remember that piece.
Okay, yeah.
But I mean, he just demolished the thing.
Yeah.
He, you know,
made it easy
at the
on
time.
You.
Oh, he did. He makes it really easy. I mean, some of, you know, as the levels go up, you start to see more and more of sort of virtuosity of movement. And even Rich, and I can't say enough about the other athletes because they'll, you know. Fantastic athletes, but he is far and away. I mean, the way the guy moves, it's just.
So you never had a no rep Rich and him give you a dirty look or anything?
No, never had.
Fuck
no
me,
rep.
Rich. I'm sorry, bro.
I've gotten that.
Here, have it back.
Yeah, you get that a lot at the regionals. The regionals, you know, you'll
oh, I'm
get,
sure.
you'll
I'll
get
bet.
Some it is, passionate people.
But it is funny when we say he judged Rich Froning. What people think of is some guy in his underwear at home on the internet, like going, "I could fucking do this shit.
Yeah.
If I had to work all the time, I could do this shit." Not true.
We're looking at you.
Dumb skulls silent.
I had this question and then I forgot it. And I was like, shit, what is
it? Was it was something about.
I was hoping one of you guys would hop in while I remember
it. Was something about tracking athletes we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. We want to talk about how important it is to track performance. And you guys have coached athletes, you've run gyms, you've had a lot of people come through, and then a lot of people, I think they just show up and they don't worry about tracking their performance. Yeah. And then sometimes they don't feel like they're getting results, but they don't even know why or. If they are or not.
You come in, you give a magical amount of force, you kind of you do work, and you get something magical in return, and you don't really know where it came from sometimes, if you're not measuring shit. Like I said, the thing you're not measuring is the thing you don't know if how to improve.
Yeah.
That's where it starts, right?
So, you know, Rob, what do you guys do in regard to, like, getting your clients to track performance and how much emphasis is put there?
Yeah, great question. You know, I mean, for me, it's just a big separator between the people that are more serious and those that are not. And not to put down the people that aren't serious if they're just coming for a workout and they want to be fit and just have that general fitness, you know. The workouts are really powerful. I mean, they're going to get a really great response. But the people who come in and they say, I have a specific goal, you know, the goal has to be linked to, you know, what is your measurement system? What's your currency? And so those are the people that have the logbooks. Those are the people that use tools that we have in the gym, like Wattify, in order to, you know, to make that experience, you know, richer and better. And they're looking at it in terms of baby steps and trying to get to new milestones and push themselves in that way. So, you know, ideally, I'd want everybody on that. You know, I acknowledge the fact that CrossFit has taken on, you know, kind of that regular role for some people. It's not necessarily all those fringe athletes anymore that would show up with logbooks. We're comfortable in that environment. But we always try and push them that way. You know, we're like, hey, you know, when they come in for the intro, we're like, that's where you keep your logbook. And we point that, you know, that cubby hole out. And we're like, this is how Wattify works. And we do try to do a good job of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, with Wattify, though, you get pretty good. I know we started using it in our facility recently. I mean, you get pretty good results on people logging stuff that way because it's so community driven.
Yep.
As opposed to just a logbook. That's one of those things where I think if you're using an app or something that's a little more intuitive, like for me, I have a hard time
more with
recording
the times.
It, but if it's something that's gonna be easy to look up later,
yeah, for sure.
Going back in a logbook to see what I did on back squat
for all my years in powerlifting, man, I used to scribble that shit down in like a piece of notebook paper in my gym bag or like a lab book I had from our old laboratory or, you know, you try to keep an Excel spreadsheet. And the tool was never quite what you needed to actually, unless you were really geeking out and tracking every variable, which was never me, never too detail oriented. I didn't have a user-friendly tool to help me keep track of it, like a digital coach in my pocket now that everybody has now this access to.
Yeah, the technology's been great. I mean, Wattify, we use it at our gym. We love it. Members love it. It definitely helps. It gives you a goal. You know, you go up there before your workout, you look at what you did before. So kind of it gives that goal. Whereas before, we were just talking and writing it down on a piece of paper. I know I did that for years.
Or memory, which memory. Is always sure yeah. shot, you know.
But I think there is a lot of value of just putting it on paper, having it on a, tracking it on a screen, you know, kind of just puts it out there. It says, this is what I did in the past, and this is what I'm trying to beat.
Yeah.
So I'm a huge fan of it. I mean, I think it, like Rob said, it depends on the goals. Some members just go by based on feel. Their intuition, they feel good, they got a good sweat, they feel like they're working out.
That's all that's required sometimes, man. Yeah, getting to really get a little pumped.
But for a lot of athletes, they want to know that it's working, that they're measuring yeah. it, and it's effective. And sometimes you can't go home in the mirror and look at your tricep and say, I think it looks... My abs are
maybe not you, but
some
boy,
people can.
After a vicious close grip bench session, I can see the differences.
But there's a lot. It's deceiving, right?
Yeah, sometimes it's all bullshit.
Yeah,
as a
coach, I really like the whole logging of results because yeah. a lot of times people go, oh, I'm not getting the results. Remember this a while back? We offered twice a week training as an option, which yeah. I am very opposed to now, and you'll understand why in a second. But people would come to me who were paying for to come into the gym twice a week. And I had other people that were unlimited. They would come in 5 days a week. Yeah. And these people would come in the gym and go, I'm just not getting the results. I know they're split and they're doing a boot camp or something somewhere else. I'm just not getting the results that, you know, I feel like I should be getting. I'm like, oh, okay, well, how often do you come to the gym? They go, oh, well, twice a week. I'm a twice a week member. I'm like, oh, you're getting twice a week results. And yeah. and they go, oh. And
oh,
like you should upgrade to this more expensive plan. No, but I mean, that's really
numbers don't lie.
That's really the truth. But that's where logging can be like really valuable. And like I think as a gym owner, like logging attendance can
so
be.
So you think it gives
not just like the performance in the gym, but yeah. logging like how many times do you think you're showing up, and how many times are you really showing up? How many times have people filled out diet logs and then realized they didn't eat a Snickers bar every day at 3 o'clock?
Well, I think whether you're a business owner, a marketer, whether you're an athlete, you have to measure it. You have to measure it to see how it's working and see how you can improve. I mean, it's just simply looking at data. You can't go by just feel.
I think there's two perspectives, really. There's the athlete perspective where you don't know if things are moving the way they should unless you're measuring, because if you leave it to your flawed perception, you're going to get shit wrong. Doug, how oftentimes am I wrong with my flawed perception? I mean, self-deprecating.
Every time.
But to Mike's, every time. Doug's like, this guy's got the fattest mouth on the team. Mike made a good point about how also if you're the coach on the other end and you have somebody who's not happy with you and what you got, this gives you objective numbers, transparency, sure. something to fall back on. Say, no, look, man, I mean, here it is. You entered this, right? Yes, I did. You eat a Snicker bar every day at 2 o'clock and a liter of Diet Pepsi or regular Pepsi? Yeah. I didn't think it was a problem? It is. Or you didn't show up X weeks in a row? Maybe that could be why you don't get the results.
Exactly.
It's not just you trying to, it feels like otherwise you're trying to sell something to somebody, but you have the numbers.
And then the other component of putting it on the board. So as CrossFit, I think Greg Glassman originally used the saying, men die for points.
Yeah.
You put on the whiteboard and there's something to be had about ranking. So
oh, yeah.
people
yeah.
like to see how they stack up, how they compare to other athletes.
Oh yeah, we got the morning crew, like, don't even mess with the evening crew sometimes. I think they put up like some fake results just to
these
motivate
maniacs.
Just to motivate
sure.
the PM crew.
Sure.
It's great. I love it.
We
love seeing
that
it.
Just the other day.
That's a whole other good topic, because like there's the thing that there's the workout program and then there's these elements that are just as important that are hard to pin down.
Yeah.
And then you could be a dental hygienist or office guy. You come in and go, that guy beat me. Fuck that guy. You're hearing in your head, like, I'm going to bring it, man. I have to.
Exactly.
I have to stand up.
Everybody has a different motivation. Some people just want to get better. Some people hate their life, and this is how they take it out. And some people
are born mercenary killers,
yeah,
crazy
true.
Sons of bitches. They're going to kill everybody in the gym. Hey, all right.
Exactly.
But I say, if you come in and you look at your name on the bottom of that board, you're like 10th out of 10th. If you don't feel anything, get the fuck out of here. We don't need your client.
Yeah.
You're listing.
Or there's that one athlete that's constantly putting up the best numbers, and you say, I just want to beat that motherfucker. I'm going to do everything it takes.
Yeah, but that feeling, that like, oh, I got to do better. Like
yeah.
that's what drives the progress. Like that plus a well-reasoned, simple, progressive plan. Now you got shit coming together and they can manage it with a cool tool.
And
or if you scribble it on the fucking gym wall, do that. But as long as you're doing it every time, measuring and measuring.
Absolutely. And I bet Amit's laughing at us. Amit, the owner of Wattify, saying, yeah, I thought of all this stuff, guys, but this is why we came up with it.
I was genius.
Well, I know as a coach, like I used to get really frustrated. I mean, I still do time to time. Is I tell the athletes, like, I'm not in the gym every day, and I can't be there for every session. And I tell athletes, you know, especially people who are trying to be competitive, so you've got to log your results, put it on the blog. You know, that's where I need the results to be, on the blog. Or, you know, if you put it in your notebook, it's kind of no good to me as a coach. Sure. It's great for you as an athlete to see what's working, what's not working. And most athletes, I don't think, have the analytical skills or the experience necessary to, like, make good decisions based off the data. And a lot of times, that's why you have a coach. And a lot of times when, athletes, I'll be programming, and I'll be getting results from one or two athletes. I'm supposed to be getting results from 10 athletes.
Yeah.
And they go, man, the workout was like, I'm just getting really beat up. I'm like, are you lagging your results? And they're like, well, no. I'm like, I'm not programming for you then. Like, if you're not lagging results and I as a coach can't see what's happening in the numbers, then what I program is for whoever's logging results. And so I think a lot of athletes do not see that. I mean, I know they don't, because if they did, they'd probably do a better job of logging it.
Yeah.
And so, if you're an athlete out there who has a coach, get them your results. And it's probably, make it easy on them too, because if you've got 10 athletes all handing you notebooks, or here's my personal blog, here's my notebook, oh, can you download this Excel spreadsheet?
You're not going to do all that shit.
Oh, fuck no. put it on the blog. Use something like Wattify. Use like one central system is kind of like what I suggest.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of technology. It makes our life easier, simpler, and more effective. So
you can go back as long as you want and see what happened 2 years ago. You're not going to fucking remember that post-it note you wrote down your PR Fran on fucking 2 years ago. Where are you going to stick that at?
Well, no, we never forget PR Fran. That's
No. There's like five things you'll never forget. You never forget the main.
Oh, pal, I don't know. I only just find nuanced details of the CrossFit community.
Like, I know what my PR on snatch is, my back squat, my clean and jerk, my front squat, and my Fran time. But you start asking me, like, what's your Elizabeth? I go, I don't really remember that. But it is important data. We just don't visit it frequently enough, and we don't talk about it that often. So it's good data to have, and it all kind of depends on what you're trying to improve at the
time. To me, when I hear Fran, I think that's the thing that was used as a tool to make me look like an asshole at the level one as I desperately tried to do the pull-ups. And everybody's like, ha, 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 see, CrossFit's intense. Like, yes, plenty fucking intense, bro. As I crossed the finish line in, what, like 18 minutes to 14 minutes in the fucking thing the first time I did it?
Or it's the workout when you have no creativity to come up with a workout and you have, you're short on time. Like, oh, shit, what can I do? I can do some burpees. I can jump on a rower. I'll just hit out Fran real fast and get on my way.
There you go.
I call this one Chris. I'll warm up in 2 minutes. I'll squat to a max and go the fuck home. Drink a beer.
It's the drive-thru.
Play some Rush, man.
Drive-thru style.
Drive-thru style.
Yeah. That's another good way to log. It's like, if you don't know what to do that day, you can just go, okay, I'm going to do whatever I did on December 10th. And see if I got better at that. Go, oh, pull that open. Oh.
Wait, it's an easy way to test. Like, and you have a clear benchmark.
I think a lot of times if I do that, I'll make a commitment. Like, I'm going to go back and do that workout that I know I did. Or I don't remember it. I don't remember the workout. I'm just going to do whatever I did December 10th. Open it up, and then I'm like, oh, not that one.
But it's like triple Murph.
I think that's the genius of the name
workout.
That
workouts. Sounds intense.
I mean, I think that's the name workouts. That's what makes them so successful, is that everybody knows their time, and it puts that workout up on the board, so everybody knows like their Fran time, and that way you can benchmark it, compare your time.
Built in benchmarking,
and it goes back to chasing that data, chasing that result. So it's not just that's what drives it.
Even in powerlifting, man, even powerlifting, like in the course of a year, you're only thinking about what you want to aspire to, and it's usually a little too far to reach. Like, I'm gonna fucking add 100 pounds on my bench, or especially if you're in a gym, like some random ass gym, like I'm just gonna get better at benching. And you do what you always did, and then a year later, you bench the same thing because it's, you have this big pie in the sky dream and something you're shooting for, but there's nothing in between to say, right, I'm gonna build. What was it doing last month? Add X percent this month. Like, no one, it's such an obviously beneficial thing, and almost no one outside of this realm is doing it.
Sure. Rob, what do you think about like goal setting? Like, I like what Chris just said. He's like, either I want to get better at benching, which there's no quantitative value there.
We'll get fucking huge.
And then he says 100 pounds. And I want to get 100 pounds in 3 months. It's just ridiculous. Like, how do you approach goal setting?
Well, I mean, when you're running a bigger gym, I think if I have to be critical and I have to think about what I can do better in my facility, I need to let my members know how do we even define performance? How do we define what we're doing? And having them think more about performance, you talked about some of the subjective stuff that kind of comes as a result of the program. That's all cool. But if they're not linked into that idea that I need to get heavier weights, I need to get, lower times. And again, a lot of people that are coming to the program now, they need to be told that. They need to sit them down and be like, listen, we're going to try to do better this time. And all those other things just kind of come with, they're just add-ons. They're just, condiments that come with it. So I mean, you know,
training condiments.
Training condiments.
We gotta fucking market
the
that
hot sauce of.
There you go.
I don't know why I got reminded, but I just thought of Doug and how I think the most powerful way to utilize this is not even really in the gym, but it's like when your diet, like when we help people gain weight, they
go on a diet,
or to gain muscle mass. People go, I got how to gain muscle mass? Eat a lot. Okay, I've tried that. It doesn't work. No, if you're just looking daily what you're eating and you're plotting out that daily weight and you can see it, the correlations, you can see the daily change or lack thereof, it changes everything. Like
what's that scale that you were talking about earlier? Like you have a scale that links to an app on your phone that'll automatically graph your weight.
Oh, really?
What's
it called?
Say it, Mike.
It's like with things or Y things, like WI things.
This is like a very great marketing position.
Oh, it's kind of like Wi-Fi, but Y things. Yeah. Things?
You can just hook whatever you want into Wi-Fi.
Somebody that's in marketing, get a hold of that company. Tell them to
I've got it. Why things?
And anybody, I really am a huge fan of graphing your weight, though. Yeah.
But I just wanted to interrupt. Like anybody that is trying to gain weight, I'm sure you guys know all too well about this. It always comes down to.
Don't look at me when you say that.
You were talking about.
I'm sure you know a lot about gaining weight, right? Am I right?
We're trying to get an athlete who wants to gain weight and put on muscle.
So blunt,
what do they always say?
You'd be right, by the way. I know a lot about gaining weight.
Right for the throat.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm eating all day long.
Yeah.
They write it down, and you find out they're not eating nearly as much as they should.
Subjectivity.
Totally.
They're eating corn chips.
Exactly.
Like, you know what? You can pot your weight and be like, okay, I know what kind of things I need to be eating. I need to amp it up, and no matter how much I feel like I'm going to fucking die, until that thing, that trajectory comes up and that the trend line is going in the right direction. Usually people don't, they think I'm eating a lot. Well, until you see the scale move, keep eating.
Exactly.
Then you got it right.
How many goals do you guys like to set at a time? Like, do you guys like pick one goal and attack that one thing? You set three goals? Because I've heard some people say we do one goal at a time. Some people say we do three goals at a time.
Is this strictly fitness related? Health related?
Yeah. Like, well, I mean...
everything in like business, I'll set a goal. You know, fitness wise, of course, I'll set a goal. You know, right now, I guess where I'm at personally, I know you guys don't care too much where I'm at personally, but.
I care, man. We have an intimate connection already, homie.
Listen, I guess I'm at this. You know, depending, maybe a year ago, I was into the competition side, I was tracking everything. Now, my goal is to get a good workout and to stay in shape. So I focused everything in my business into the gym. So now the performance tracking is not as important right now to me at this point in my life.
For you.
For me.
Yeah.
So my goals are a little more broad.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah, just where I'm at right now. You know, I want to stay in shape. I want to continue to be a role model and an example to the kids that I work with.
What if your Fran time increased by 50%? Would that be a red flag on your
Your ego and flare up say, fuck this?
I need to reassess my...
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole... Yeah. I think I could zero on that. That's a whole other goal setting lesson, I think, is that people think, I'm going to crush business, right? Fucking high five, man. I'm going to crush that thing, my family life. I'm going to crush the games. Basically, I'm going to crush everything that's important in my life simultaneously. Well, good for you if you're like 21 and shot out of a fucking cannon and you're ready to go and you feel no pain.
Yeah.
You get to be 30, 40, and you got a really complicated life, kids and job, and you can't give yourself all the way to everything at one time. It's a basic lesson of periodization. You have to sequence something. You have to give something to take something else.
I couldn't agree more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to start focusing.
I'm sorry. I feel like information and data overload is like one of the biggest problems in society right now. Like in the book, The Power of Less by Leo Babauta, I think that is, they quote a study where they had people either set one, two, or three goals at the same time. And all the people that were able to focus and only set one goal were like 85% successful at the end of the month of actually keeping or being on track with completing that one specific goal. I think the people that did two goals at one time, like 45% of the people were still on track. And then the people that did three goals at the same time were like 5% of them were still on track or something like that.
Absolutely.
So I think being able to focus on one single thing is the track to actually getting something done. Because if you set three goals and you accomplish none of them, well, then you set zero goals, really.
Wait, I'm sorry. What did you say? I wasn't focusing.
This guy.
You see what I did there?
He's got jokes.
I can also say it like this, it's down home, like country way. If you got one ass, don't ride two horses. Okay. I read that somewhere. It's like, I think it's a Hungarian saying. I don't know why I said that, but it's true.
But honestly, I think it's a very critical point. Part of this discussion is it's easy to get distracted, whether it's fitness, your own personal goals, and especially now with technology. You know, it is easy to get distracted when you're in a gym, you're checking your Facebook in the middle of a workout. You're tweeting, you're checking your emails. I mean, everybody's guilty of it. You know, everybody's busy and everybody's important. So I got a text here, text there. I forget who I'm even talking to right now. My head's not looking up.
Yeah, mindfulness is lacking.
It's a real issue. I mean, it's a whole nother, I'm probably going off on a tangent here.
Yeah.
But I was just having this conversation.
No, man. It's very relevant because people think,
I'm passionate about it.
You got to think carefully about, you got to think, like most people buy apps and shit to their phone. How many times do most of those apps get used?
Yeah.
After the first, oh, this is cool. Look what all this shit I can do. And you never leave it, you never touch it again. That's the promise of technology. Like in the 30s and 40s, they said, by the year 2000, what will we do with all of our spare time when we have computers to run our lives? Yeah. The answer, you work fucking 10 times harder to have half the pleasure in your life. That's what happens if you don't respect the tools. Now, it's a tool. It doesn't replace anything you have to do to organize your own life. It just helps you if you use the tool for what a tool's for.
Amen.
Yeah, speaking of tools, I think the clock really is one of the best tools in the gym because once the clock starts, doing something like checking your email on your phone or your Facebook or having a casual conversation with somebody, all that shit goes away because the clock's running. So me and Mike a while back, we were trying to explain to business owners, we were doing a time management and productivity type talk, and we're trying to explain to business owners that you should use that same concept in your own daily life. Like if you want to actually do something productive in your email or you're working on a project or whatever, you should AMRAP that time, start the clock, AMRAP 30 minutes working on your presentation or whatever the hell you're doing, and you're not checking social media, you're not going to the bathroom, you're not getting a drink of water, you're not doing anything. You're just working on that one sole thing for 30 minutes. You can crush like 3 hours of work in 30 minutes because you're actually focused for once.
There's a great classic article in the journal called Tabata My Job.
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah, the guy talks just about that same thing and he broke his day up. I don't remember the article specifically, but yeah, he broke it up like that and he would hit it hard and then he would fool around for 10 minutes or whatever, but he got a ton of stuff done.
Masturbation for 10 minutes, right?
That's it. Have time for that.
Fool around.
For me, one of the biggest breakthroughs was when I stopped, I turned my email off when it just constantly comes in, but I set it to where I hit send and receive. So it comes in only when I'm looking at it. So I set a time, X amount of time, a block.
That's brilliant.
For that day. It sounds simple, but it really changes everything. Because then you have all this extra time to do things that really matter. More creative stuff, you know, working on the business. So just being there, being reactive to the emails.
You're present too, because you're actually doing it for a straight hour. You've got all the distractions out of the way.
And you get in that flow state where you're not thinking about, because multitasking is, I mean, I'm not saying it's bullshit, but like, it's just not a very sustainable thing. Yeah, it's not, I mean, you can do things at the same time with like easy things, but anything that's gonna make a real change in your life, anything that really matters deserves your fucking attention. Yeah,
I learned that lesson really hard this year. We opened a second facility and I have two kids and I'm trying to have a social life and stuff, and boy,
it's a struggle, man.
It's really tough. So yeah.
It's such an easy thing to say, right? Like you go, I know what's important. I gotta keep this here, and when I get home, I'm gonna pay attention to my kids and be present with them. And then you feel, it's just like anything else. You feel the reality of it hits you, like you're playing with your kid, and you feel your fucking your phone buzz in your pocket. You go, that Pavlovian response. Yeah. That could be somebody at work asking me things that I must jump on now, or else I don't know why. And then just like that, like a vapor, you're fucking back on the bad track. I struggle with that more than anything. I keep in the fucking boundaries drawn. It takes constant daily effort, for sure.
Can you switch my phone to do what you just said? Can I give it to you?
Turn a note of...
We can talk about it.
It only checks the email when you hit a button, huh?
That was a test. Yeah. He's like, not right now. I'm podcasting.
Almost everything I have on my phone is disabled most of the time. Like,
all push notifications. Turn it off.
Yeah.
Do not disturb is enabled most of the time. People get mad at me sometimes. Like, are you screening my calls? I'm like, no, I'm screening everybody's calls.
I just read the 4-hour work week. I don't check email no more.
That's fuck you.
India,
one of my buddies.
That's right. This guy in India.
You ever had a VA? You ever had a VA?
Virtual assistant.
No. I read the book, and it's an interesting concept, but I think that's too detached for me right now.
I'm sorry. What book
I like the other 5% of that book though, which basically just says, you got to try and trim down. And I like his approach. Yeah. I always like 5% of his books.
Yeah. Well, that's funny you say that because that's exactly right. Like if you view it as a book purely on efficiency, the 4-hour work week specifically, then it's a really good book. If you take it all too literally, it might be a little bit too far out there for some people. Yeah. Not that it's not possible, but maybe too much for some people. But you're exactly right. I feel like especially the 4-hour body, when I read that, I was like, I thought that was really good. But I thought that was really good because I have a filter already.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like if you don't know anything about fitness, then you might take some of these things that are really little tiny pieces of information that aren't even close to the big picture and take it too far not get results because you're not focusing on the big rock, so to speak.
You confuse a sugar rush with something that's a full meal, kind of. Like, it's supposed to give you a spark and get you thinking, but it's not like, it's not the only way to get what you want. It's like, it gets you moving, it gets you thinking.
Yeah. That's all that being said, Tim Ferriss is like one of my favorite authors of all time, so I'm not saying anything.
Oh, yeah,
bad
no,
about
we're not,
Tim,
this is not talking shit at all. This is clear.
I won't
voice
my opinion then. I'll hold back. No, I think he's a marketing genius.
He absolutely is a marketing genius.
And that's probably what he'll tell you is.
Well,
if
I'd
you
say
ask
he's
him.
Also a marketing genius. I think he's a genius at a lot of things.
I don't know.
Oh, he's holding
well.
Back again.
I think he does. He conducts a case study on himself, and then he tells everyone else that maybe they should try it on themselves. But
yeah.
I think people need to recognize it as case studies on himself. The same way people shouldn't take any research and apply it to everything.
So. Yeah, I don't think Tim claims to be a fitness guy. So I don't think that's part of his whole deal. But definitely a marketing and business genius man for sure.
Yeah, in all fairness to him, he does surround himself with people. Like, I think, you know, Brian McKenzie has done some stuff with him, and Mark Bell for Paddle. I think he reaches out to people he knows, understands it better than him, and he packages it the way as damn sexy.
Well, back to what you said, I mean, you know, he's trying to make himself into his own laboratory, and what right. other tool, I mean, other than measurement, it needs to be measurable, observable, repeatable, back to performance tracking.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to take one of his ideas and you implement it, well, where are your numbers? How did it work?
If it worked, great. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think the only drawback to some of his stuff, I mean, I think it's more for intermediate or advanced, somebody that has already kind of experimented and tried different things on themselves. Mm-hmm. Sometimes for the beginner, I think it kind of sends a message that he's looking for hacks and looking for, lack of a better word, a shortcut, and you can kind of like hack the system and kind of figure out different things.
It's alluring to people.
That sells very well, though. Hacks and shortcuts and tips, like, and little things like that.
And
that's
why he's a marketing genius, because he figured out what people want, and that's what he puts
in
his
book. But you can hack it, Steve. If you'd only consider making a donkey meat paleo kit, that would sell like wildfire.
Be the first on the market.
Well, if you put a little cinnamon and a little lemon in your water, then all of a sudden your abs start showing. And that's
true?
That's the true hack.
How much cinnamon do I need? I'm thinking a lot of cinnamon.
I haven't read the book in a while. It was something along those lines.
So those are the little pieces that I'm talking about, that you can take them too far and miss the big picture if you don't have a filter already.
Absolutely.
Off of Tim Ferriss for a moment. Like, do you have a team right now for Steve's Club? Like, are you doing all that all by yourself, or do you have any support?
I wish I was doing all by myself. No. I wish.
So it is a
I have
club.
A lot of people.
So you hate people? That's what I heard.
Hate people?
Yeah.
That's pretty accurate.
I got a nonprofit where I don't talk to anybody.
Except for underprivileged children. He loves them. Tell us a little bit more about Steve's Club for all the people that don't know. I mean, I know you mentioned it at the very beginning, but I'd like to hear more about it.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to talk about it. So we get kids from Camden, New Jersey, who were recently ranked the most dangerous city in the country. So it's not a...
Is it true? Is that you walk in the streets, you're like, I got to hold on to shit and get undercover soon? Like, is it really that dangerous? I think
we are about 10 minutes away, so after we get done this, we could take you
a little field trip.
Absolutely.
No, this looks really so bad. Is. Run!
It's a different world. A wild, wild west. A lot of cops don't go down a lot of streets.
Oh,
it's
shit.
Bad. Yeah.
Wow.
If cops are scared, that's a problem.
Yeah, it's truly bad. But I got to meet a lot of kids, and they truly are really good kids. You know, I had a lot of stereotypes and made a lot of assumptions before I went in there, thinking out a lot of these kids were punks and thugs and trying to make a quick buck selling on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet a lot of kids, and they're kind of remind me of myself growing up, athletes. They're trying to get ahead, trying to make the right decisions, but just the environment they grew up in just didn't make it easy.
That's what breaks my heart, because it's so easy if somebody said, oh yeah, look, this situation is so tragic. If everybody just got their heads together, they come up with a solution. But to find your consciousness to bloom in that environment when you had no fucking choice, you're just a kid trying desperately to survive, trying to plot see a path forward for yourself. When there's nobody around you saying a fucking thing positive to you ever, like, you could go to school? Shit, man, you're plenty smart. No one says that to you. What do you do if you're a kid who doesn't hear that? You try to look for sports. Like, their kids doing their best. I think it's amazing that people can take their time to support a young kid getting a crack at things. I mean, if there's anything worth supporting, it's supporting a fucking kid to take a shot that he knows down inside he's maybe capable of, but no one is telling him it's possible, even though it's completely possible.
I told you should come over to Steve's Club, give a little talk.
I would love that, man. Fuck, I would love it.
I agree 100%.
People need to know that, you have everything within you to do amazing shit right now.
Absolutely.
Like people say in India, they say namaste for a reason. That means you recognize a divine spark in another human being, and you fucking got it.
Absolutely.
You have it.
And that's the message that we constantly send, and I can't say it enough, and I sound like a broken record, and the kids know they're tired of hearing me, but it's working hard. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. You work hard, you can get things you want in life. You know, you don't have to be a celebrity. You don't have to be a professional athlete to have what you want. To su- to provide for your family. You could work hard, get a good job, go to college, and you can make things happen on your own.
Do you ever tell them, hey man, look, I know, fuck, you got a short straw here. You're here, but this does not mean you have to stay here. Do you ever say, look, it's fucking tough, but you guys are tough. Look, you're surviving. If you can make it out of here, you can make it fucking anywhere.
And that's why it's probably my passion. That's why I love it so much, because they don't complain and they don't look at it like that. They just look ahead, they look forward, and they're trying to make the right thing. So they don't feel bad. It's not poor me. I never hear that.
If anything, I'd say they're probably more on the edge of being alive and fucking vivacious and awesome, because anytime humans get put in a situation where they're on the edge and fear is real and the risk of injury and death is really fucking real, that's what something inside the human spirit gets ignited. Like the opposite, the most pathetic person is the guy who has nothing pushing them, nothing straining them, no real risk in life. They just sit somewhere and go down a path that's numbing and comfortable, and it opens up on its own to them. That is the worst example of a human I can think of. There's great people who do that, but it's not what makes a special human that is resilient and fucking stands up and does Absolutely. Shit that really changes the world.
And honestly, yeah, part of it's being selfish. They inspire me because they're battling adversity. They're making, they're not giving everything. They're making things happen. And it constantly reminds me of, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Kyle Maynard.
Kyle Maynard?
Yeah, so he's one of my he's one of my heroes. I love that guy. I love his videos. I'm always showing him what he does to the kids at Steve's Club, saying sometimes, you know, this is what you're dealt. You know, maybe you might not have what you want, but you don't let that kind of become who you are. You can make the rules, you can make things happen on your own.
Yeah, I gotta meet Kyle, man. Just like, holy shit, what excuse am I fucking holding on to?
You guys have 18 other, I guess, locations or
clubs.
Clubs, and so in different cities in the United States.
Yeah.
Are they all in the U.S.?
All in the United States. So we have a lot of gym owners, namely CrossFit gym owners. They don't have to be CrossFit, but they come forward. They want to help out in their local community, and we make it as easy as we can for them to start a youth program. So it doesn't have to be a big, elaborate nonprofit program. You could start small. You could start working with two kids. If you have a nice gym like this, CrossFit One Force, you could bring in two or three kids from the neighborhood, kids that can't afford CrossFit, but that could greatly benefit from it.
Change your life, dude.
It really is. I mean, I've seen it firsthand. It's life-changing.
You said you took emphasis off of yourself and your metrics and your performance. I guess you were taking performance pretty seriously. What was you doing, CrossFit and any other sports?
Just CrossFit mainly, competing.
So isn't it amazing, once you get on the other side, you think you're giving up something to focus on something else, but once you can take that energy and put it towards another person and you watch them become better than you, like once you do that and you feel that, I think you realize that's really much more of a special thing oftentimes. Like, I get addicted to that. I don't give a shit about my performance anymore, really. Yeah. I look at people achieve something because I gave them a pearl, and it really helped me a lot. I go,
absolutely.
Fuck, man, I'm humbled by that. Thank you.
I mean, it does. And I gained so much seeing other athletes, you know, benefit, and the kids get better, not only performance outside the gym, then I have, not that I did on anything great in competition-wise, but then the reward of coming, you know, completing a competition, doing well. I mean, that doesn't even compare. Yeah. You know, seeing that somebody else do good, that's kind of what motivates me.
Have you had that clear, plain lesson where you saw a kid who you could clearly say, there's a good chance, better than not, this kid will be in jail or dead? And does it happen oftentimes where this kid bounces back, is good in sports and makes it into a school or makes it out and gets a good job? I mean, how often does this happen? I mean, I imagine it must be the most powerful thing you can experience to actually have that effect.
It really is. I mean, the biggest thing, so we've been doing it since 2006. So we had several years now to kind of see the results, see kids go through the program. And it really has, it's been amazing. Between kids will come in, and the biggest thing is the attitude. Mm-hmm. You know, you come in, you see a kid just with a bad attitude. And that's, you know, in a nonprofit world, it's similar to the conversation we're having, they go by metrics.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to get funded, they want to see metrics. They want to see a kid, okay, tell me they had D's and now they have A's.
Graduation and rates. And
therefore, I'll write you a check for a grant. So the metric for me has always been their attitude, has been seeing their behavior, the choices they make. That's the metric for me. And I've seen kids go from, I don't really have options, and
They feel wounded and defensive.
Defensive, and I'll do whatever I want to do. This is me, and this is the life I'm living. Screw you.
Fuck it.
To changing it to, how can I be a part of this? How can I, to volunteer and to kind of take advantage of all the services.
Most powerful thing in the world.
It really is. A kid that you would think, like, there's no way getting through to this kid. He already is who he is. So
awesome,
seeing
man.
That happen has been, yeah.
How do you find that kid? You're basically taking these kids off the streets, the same streets that cops won't go down.
Yeah.
Like, how do you get that kid? And are you getting resistance from from their parents or their, you know, whoever's taking care of them at the time? Like, how does that work?
Well, the biggest thing I think it works, and this applies to anything, is it's the person on the other end has to want to do it. So they raise their hand. They make a decision. Their friend tells, they hear it from their friend. They hear about Steve's Club. So they come in. So I'm not going out there and saying you have to come here. There's no probation officer saying you have to come to Steve's Club. They come here because they choose to. So, I mean, I think that quote up there on the wall, this place will change you if you let it. So I think that says it all. They have to make that decision that they're willing to be changed. So these kids come in here with an open mind.
Hey, you guys have been doing this since 2006, and you guys are looking to grow?
Grow as in...
maybe more clubs.
Yes, so we're clubs. Always looking for
someone's
more.
Someone's interested in that. How do they do that?
Good question. Yeah, so if somebody's interested, then go to our website, stevesclub.org, and we have resources on there. We have an application. They could email us. I mean, we pretty much set up the national program to help people start a youth program so they're not getting involved in the whole nonprofit, the business side of it. We want them to work with the kids. So we figured that part out, and we just want to see. We want to see the concept grow because we've seen firsthand what it does.
And you said at the beginning that Steve's Paleo Goods kind of helps fund that.
Yeah, so Steve's Paleo Goods, shortly after starting Steve's Club, we put some beef jerky, nuts and berries in a bag to help the kids eat better. They kept coming back to me saying, how am I supposed to get fit and get better if I have all this junk food in the cafeteria? There's nothing to eat.
Oh,
so yeah, we gave them some beef jerky. They loved it. We put it up for sale. And now it has grown since then. We are now in 35 Whole Foods. You know, we sell our stuff to gyms all over the country. Wow. Yeah, it's going really well, and that supports our national program. So our national program is solely supported by Steve's Paleo Goods.
Very nice.
Fantastic.
Cool. So I'm out of breath. That's enough. This is the most ever talked about me. Thank you guys for allowing me to do that.
Yeah, that's fantastic, man.
Rob, is there anything you want to promote before we shut this thing down?
No, I got nothing.
If you live maybe in your hometown, maybe you should visit one of your CrossFit boxes.
Yeah, I got two CrossFit gyms, CrossFit Delaware Valley and CrossFit Harmony. I share Harmony with Amy Lyons. She's my partner on that one. She runs one of the big gyms in the area. And yeah, I mean, we're just interested in evangelizing CrossFit and showing it to new people. I mean, it's a similar feeling. I was listening to him talk about kids, and it's kind of, for me, it's the same thing when somebody comes in and they don't, you know, they're look over at the pull-up bar like, oh, I don't think I'll ever get there, but, you know, I'll try some other stuff. And then we come and check back in on them in 3 months and they got their first pull-up. I mean, there's nothing better than that. Yeah. So, you know, with all the traveling and stuff and the work that we do with two gyms, just, it's great. I mean, that's why we do it.
And Rob's downplaying a little. He runs an awesome gym. He has a great reputation. Yeah, he really does.
Rob, before you go, Big Sexy had a question.
Yes.
For the 2014 Open, what advice do you have for Rich? If he has a shot in the dark at repeating again, what's the one thing you think will really push him over the top?
Rich Froning. The Rich Froning.
The Rich.
What should he do?
Yeah, what should he do?
Jeez, he should eat a lot of paleo kids, for sure. Listen to a lot of Canadian trio.
Canadian prog rock is what you'd recommend?
For sure.
Fuck, I recommend that too.
Tom Sawyer, Spirit of Radio, you get what you want.
2112 on repeat.
No, Rich, I mean, he's so good. Jeez. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, just quick detour. I mean, how these regionals will play out this year, it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait.
It's a grand experiment.
Yeah.
You think they're going to switch it up for the Open this year, make it interesting? Or do you think we're going to see the typical Open from the last 3 years?
I think they'll keep it the same just because I think the Open's designed to be an inclusive thing. But, you know, that's the great thing about the Open workouts. We have retried those back to Performance Tracking. We've retried those Open workouts recently. We've redone a bunch of them. And there's just something magical about those, you know, lighter weights, even like 75-pound barbell. You look at it and you're like, oh,
man,
no big deal. But if you want to get all those rounds, you're going to have to go to that place. And
yes.
I love that about the Open. I also love trying to get those new people, you know, and get them to do the Open. Is just fantastic because they push themselves way harder than they ever would. We had one of our coaches talking about it in the gym today, like why people should do the Open. And until you've done it, you can't get your head wrapped around how cool it is. We run it on Friday nights in our gym. We have a big party afterwards. Big, you know,
that's awesome.
Chicken wings for everybody. Yeah.
Chicken wings.
Okay, I might go to that place.
Yeah, it's Thunderbird Pizza, Broomall, PA. Yeah, chicken wings. It's all about
I love
that.
The saying is, I think I saw one commercial of us here, you know, prove it. Like, You say whatever you want. Step up and prove it. This is for you too. And you go, I could totally fuck it. I could fucking go to that thing. I'm fit. I play college ball. All right. Get into the place and go, yeah, I'll leave this for these guys. this place is not fun. No.
I think for Rich, though, just one last thing, one last point I'll add. I mean, the videos I watched on him, I think the biggest thing is the workouts won before he even shows up. I mean, his the amount of workouts, his schedule, his training routine, his eating habits now, I mean, everything, it's all dialed in. So he's doing everything in the off season. And then when it's time to show up, it's just a workout for him.
I think when you go, I mean, not many people have this luxury, but when we went, I had those thoughts. So I'm like, Rich, yeah, maybe he's lucky. Maybe this is not the year, whatever. And you go see him, you just see him train. You watch the guy do, that first workout I saw him do live was doing endless rounds of thrusters or push presses and then some ski erg stuff. I go, oh, wow. And he's been doing it for God knows how long. And I turn around and say hello to somebody. I turn back around. He looks like he just got out of bed. He's instantly recovered. And the way he carries himself during the whole day in his hometown, small scene, no one's looking at him like he's in anything. And he doesn't conduct himself like he's that guy.
Yeah.
He's focused. He's calm. He's balanced. He's present. It's everything you need in addition to great programming to equal. Now, if I had that attitude, I still don't win the CrossFit Games, but it goes a long way to making it possible. Is that me vibrating?
Yeah, I'm wondering who that is.
You blew out your microphone, Chris.
Oh, just unplug it.
It's driving me nuts.
That happened once before in San Francisco, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's worse.
It's, there we go.
But it is funny. It's like the average person wants to know what's that one thing they're doing. You know, is Michael Jordan, is it because of the shoes? Is it because the milk he's drinking? That's what propelled him to that level.
Is it the compulsive gambling? All those things are the answer.
I'm sure maybe Tim Ferriss is working on a book for that one thing that athlete does. You follow it and he's going to be a superstar. Yeah. But there's so many factors at play, and it's ultimately it comes down to hard work. He's, I'm sure, working harder, not just as hard, but harder than anybody out there.
I think like... maybe kind of talking about Tim Ferriss and like tweaking those little things. Sometimes that's what an athlete needs to believe to get them to work hard. Sure. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've definitely been on like maybe supplement protocols where I took my training more seriously. So I don't want to waste the money on these supplements I've been buying. So I'm going to train harder. Yeah. When it might not have been that I was taking more creatine. You know, it might have been that I knew I was taking more creatine, so I should probably work harder. And
sure.
So, placebo.
Yeah.
Even a shitty program well followed is going to be better than,
you
know.
That's right. You got to believe in what you're doing. I think that's the most important
thing. Well, they're all like cogs in the wheel. If you have one thing maximized and well thought out, great. Good for you. Your programming is as perfect as you can make it. What else? Oh, what else is there? Belief, diet, sleep, rest, nutrition, presentness, mindfulness. I mean, all this shit. That is just as powerful. It's like those things that you feel once you do start measuring things and realize it's the dedication to measuring, like that repetition, that act, that commitment that makes it happen. Not just the act of writing a number down and following numbers. The numbers are just fucking numbers, man. It's the behaviors that make it happen. The habits, the conditions, they all change.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to shut this thing down. I want to thank CrossFit One Force for letting us come into their facility and podcast. I want to thank Amit from Wattify for making this connection. We were coming to New Jersey, and we were like, hey, who can we talk to? Yeah. And he brought up y'all's names, and we decided to come hang out with some Jersey boys and have some fun. I do want to promote Wattify a little bit. I'm going to talk about performance tracking. We use Wattify in our box. You guys use Wattify in y'all's box, and I think we could all agree it's probably the best way for a gym to track performance. So.
Absolutely.
I think I want to do some Steve's Club things. We should go hang out at an event and talk. And
I think we might do that this afternoon. We're going to see if we can squeeze that in the schedule.
If not today, very soon.
Yes. All right. Make sure to go to barbellstrug.com, sign up for the newsletter, and we can send you virtual hugs. Maybe we'll send you a video where you'll learn about the snatch mistakes you might be making that are keeping you from hitting your next PR. See you next time.
Cheers.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Guys.
That was fun, eh?
That was great.
Sorry for the mic vibrations.
I figured out this happened to me
once.
Wow,
it was a blast.
What ends up happening is
that was really fun. Like, yeah, thanks for the invite and the inclusion. I appreciate it.